Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Friday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome in to today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. My name is Dave Burns alongside the one, the only John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Burnsy, what is going on?
Happy Good Friday to you,
my friend. Good Friday to you.
Happy
Easter
to everybody
that is celebrating Easter this weekend. I will be at the Mass on Sunday, but happy Easter to everybody. Hope they have a great Easter.
We're not in the Auction Community Studios today. We are at the Albertsons Desert Ridge Mall at the northern end of the Metro Phoenix area. We are here with our friends from Woodford Reserve Bourbon. It is a bottle engraving remote today. A bottle of the highly coveted Woodford Reserve Bourbon, which is tasty, tasty stuff. And you can get it engraved for free on site. Our master engraver, Chris, is here. He's plugged in. He's ready to go. He's already engraving bottles. And if you want to get one for Father's Day a couple months from now, graduation a month from now, any birthdays, anniversaries, anything
at greedy.
All.
Just get it for yourself.
Or just get it for yourself.
It's the only bourbon poured at the Kentucky Derby. It is a really good bourbon. It's on sale. I think the gift set's like $27 for the gift set. You get the box. You get the – it's like a shallot. What is that? That comes with
the
little cup.
The metal cup that comes with it. It's actually $29.99 on sale right now. Yep, for the box set with the
cup.
And
look at that. That's a beautiful – I put a picture up on Twitter so you could see it. Go to Gambo987. You can see how beautiful that gift set is. Just come on down here. Desert Ridge Albertson. Stop on by. Say hello to us. And go pick up a bottle of the Woodford Reserve, and you could get it engraved absolutely free.
Absolutely. We'll be here until 6 o'clock. Please come by and see us. We look forward to meeting you. Come by and say hi, and then go around back in the liquor department is where you can get your bottle engraved. Let's tell you what our top story of the day is here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Going deep. Today's top story, Burns and Gambo.
I'm going to let Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network tell you what our top story of the day is, because he's the one who broke it on Twitter today. Sounds like the Oakland Raiders are putting the funk in dysfunctional with draft day less than a week away.
What makes this uncommon is they are not expected back before the draft, and the reason for this is because Mike Mayock does not know who he can trust with his draft secrets. He does not know who he can talk to, does not know who he can kind of confide in, and it is no surprise there's going to be some significant turnover in the scouting department for the Raiders after the draft. Based on all of that, it seems like Mike Mayock and John Gruden are going to be among the very, very, very few people in the know in the Raiders and also physically in the building come draft time.
Mayock and Gruden sent the scouts home. Don't come back until after the draft because we don't know which of you we can trust.
Here's the thing. If you can't work with people you can't trust.
Agreed.
You cannot work with people you
especially
can't trust.
Especially in that industry and especially on this day of all days, right?
I mean, this is insane. If you really can't, you have to send everybody home because you don't trust them, then it shouldn't be working for you. Don't hire people you can't trust.
Mm-hmm.
And the second you find out that you can't trust them, then get rid of them. I mean, literally get rid of them. I mean, listen. Okay, I'm privy to a lot of information, right, on a regular basis.
Yes.
And we have a team, and sometimes my team is around when we go over some of this information. I mean, I have to trust my team, don't I?
Yes, you do.
We have a trust inside our team that this does not leave.
It's the circle of trust here in the Burns.
No, but it's true. It is true. And if we can't trust any of those people, then they can't work for us.
You can't walk into the prep room without taking a blood oath to protect the circle of trust.
But it is true.
I'm making jokes, but it is actually the truth.
It's the truth.
It's the truth. Like sometimes interns will come sit in our meetings and we'll have to say, okay, what you hear in here kind of stays in here. And not to make it sound like more important than it is. We're not exactly dealing with CIA state secrets here or something.
But it has
in
to
order
trust.
To protect the people who give you this information, we what you hear in here has to stay in this room and we have to be able to trust you. And if we find out that we can't, then we got to. The problem with that is, though, not with your comparison, but with what Mayock's doing, you can't go firing your scouts now. You can't fire your scouts 2 weeks ago. You need those bodies to help you prepare for this thing. The problem with it now, if you're Mayock or if you're Gruden, who can you turn to ask and say, hey, this guy that we were thinking about taking in the fourth round, tell me about him.
You got
to
call
him.
You got to call him. They don't want you seeing the board. They don't want you being involved. I'm looking at the reaction to this. Ricky Badley, if you're a Raiders scout, it's time to find a new job. I've always liked Gruden, but since he's come back to the Raiders, he's done some strange things. Mike White, worried about who to trust? You know, like there's a lot of reaction to this right now. You know, it's just this is paranoia at the ultimate level, unlike anything I've ever seen before. These are people that work for your organization, and like you can't trust them. Like this is insane. They shouldn't be working for you.
Yeah, Bill Barnwell from ESPN tweeted out, "I'd be a little scared of what the Raiders plan on doing if it's so far removed from chalk that they don't want any of their scouts to reveal their secret plan." Obviously, there's somebody in that group they can't trust because somebody squealed to Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network almost immediately, right? Right. I mean, so obviously somebody in your group went to the media to say, by the way, Ian, have you heard about this crazy stuff we're doing over here at the Raiders? They kicked us all out. We're not allowed back in the draft room. We're not allowed to be in the facility.
Well, Albert Breer until said it's all done. Expectations has been that much of the scouting department would be turned over post-draft.
Yeah.
So that could be why too. Like we're gonna change the scouting staff once the draft is over. Too late now, so they're gonna trade it once the draft is over.
So let's try to read into this a little bit. I mean, should we anticipate something crazy from the Oakland Raiders on draft day, if it's such a highly guarded secret, they felt the need to kick out all of their. If you're a Cardinal fan, this news is of particular interest to you. At least it should be, because it at least suggests on the surface that the Raiders are planning on doing something kind of kooky, and doing something kind of kooky doesn't necessarily by default have to. But it might involve some sort of a trade-up with the Arizona Cardinals at number one and taking Kyler Murray. Now, that's speculation on my part. I don't have anything to back that up. But if you were just going to play it by the numbers and take 4 and 24 and 27 and 35 like the Raiders have, would you need to kick out your scouts if you were just planning on coloring this one by the numbers? Or would you kick them out because you were planning on doing something crazy and you didn't want anyone to know about it? That's kind of my speculation on it. That's my take on it.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably lean with they're probably going to do something crazy. Like, that's why they want to just keep it so close to the vest and just keep a very tight inner circle, because there might be something very unique going on here that, you know, and they, you know, maybe there is a possibility of getting a quarterback at four and trading car.
Yeah, I'll give you a hypothetical. All right, and again, this is just pure speculation on my part, and maybe this is so far removed from how it actually works, but let's say for a second it's John Gruden and Mike Mayock's plan to try and orchestrate a trade with the Cardinals and move up to number one.
Okay.
The second part of what you'd have to do in that scenario is trade Derek Carr.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if there is a scout in the building who has had a long-standing relationship with Derek Carr, and you're worried that revealing those plans to that person, that he's going to get on the phone and tell Derek Carr, and hey, by the way, I just let you know, you're getting traded to the Miami Dolphins. I hate to break it to you. I hate to be the one to tell you, but you're getting shipped, right? Now word's out. Now the plan has been revealed. Now you can't keep a big secret. And if you can't trust that guy not to – and again, that's just me speculating on one of a thousand different ways you could possibly not trust the guys in there. But Derek Carr's been there a lot longer than Mike Mayock has, a lot longer than John Gruden has. He might have relationships with some of the guys in that room that would make you go, we kind of have to ask you to clear the room because we're afraid you're going to go tell Derek Carr what our plans are. And then it's going to get out.
Did you see the Gil Brandt tweet?
No.
Okay. This was fascinating. I'm going to see if I could find it here. The Gil Brandt tweet. He said, "We never cleared the room, but sometimes we'd lay traps for scouts we didn't trust." In 1987, we showed our board to a scout with us taking Mike Junkin, a linebacker we didn't like. 2 days later, Cowboys beat writer Jim Dent wrote a story saying we were taking Junkin. Let me say this again, because this is fascinating.
I got Admiral Akbar in my head. It's a trap.
We never cleared the room, but sometimes we'd lay traps for scouts we didn't trust. In 87, we showed our board to a scout with us taking Mike Junkin. He's a linebacker we didn't like. 2 days later, a Cowboys beat writer wrote a story saying they were taking Junkin.
So the scout was outed? It's probably let go.
I mean, probably.
Sure. It's Daniel Jeremiah is a former scout, and he was a Bullfrog, by the way.
He was. Jeremiah was a Bullfrog.
Over at NFL Network. And he tweeted out in response to this story, quote, "When I started scouting in 2003, most teams allowed scouts and coaches to see the draft board. But by 2012, so 7 years ago, most teams only allowed 3 to 4 people to have access to the board. This is not that unusual. So he's trying to make the claim that it's not that unusual to send this.
That it's a tight-knit group, and it's...
Well, but I mean, to me, there's like two stories here. You sent all the scouts home, okay? And you said, don't come back. There's a difference between, we're not going to let you in the room where the board is, and would you please go home and excuse yourselves for a week, right?
Right.
I mean, it's kind of a little bit of a difference there. But Jeremiah is making it sound like it's really, in today's NFL,
close circle,
there are only about 3 or 4 people who know what's on that board and can see what's on that board. I don't know.
I mean, that makes sense. I mean, I don't think that's... I mean, that doesn't throw me off a whole bunch.
Yeah.
But listen, the bottom line is you have to have people that you work with that you trust. You can't have people you don't trust working for you. If you don't trust them, then they shouldn't work for you.
And that's
the bottom line.
And it seems to me that Mike Mayock would have had enough time when he was hired as a general manager to that team to hire scouts he trusted.
Right.
Rather than continue to work with the ones that he didn't know and didn't trust. Why didn't you flush them out then? When you've got the job, you've been in this industry for a long time, Mike. You don't know guys you can hire to be the scouts there that you
now,
actually trust.
I'm actually, you know, you were fascinated with the Jets. What are the Jets going to do at 3? Now, I mean, this does add a lot of intrigue to me with the Raiders at 4. Man, what are the Raiders going to do at 4?
Big time. Big time. There's no doubt about that. The 9th annual Larry Fitzgerald double play celebrity softball game returns to Salt River Fields on Saturday, April 27th. Head to the rewards page at arizonasports.com for your chance to win tickets and for complete info on that. There could be a team interested in trading for Josh Rosen, but will the Cardinals have to wait for the compensation they seek in that deal? We'll tell you about that next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
It's a trap!
Shocked that Jordan has never played this all the time as we talk about Jeremiah being a bullfrog.
Daniel Jeremiah from the NFL Network.
Yeah.
He's not actually a bullfrog, but he is a very good NFL insider.
What's wrong with being a bullfrog?
Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Not one thing at all. We are, this time next week we'll know. This time next week we'll know how it all turned out and what happened.
Thank God.
We won't have to.
We will know.
You continue to say that like you're frustrated with this.
I just want to know. It's fascinating. I mean, it literally is. It is fascinating. And, you know, I like to try to get as much information as I can on a regular basis. But I mean, I don't know what's going to happen right now. And I want to know too. Like, I want to know. Are they going Kyler Murray? Are they staying Josh Rosen? Are they trading the pick? They taking both sides. I want to know what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to Josh Rosen, there are, as always, lots of things to consider. And consider this from SNY and Ralph Vacchiano. Vacchiano or Vacchiano? Do you remember?
Anyway, I think it's Vacchiano.
I think it's Vacchiano. I think you're right. He wrote a story today, and it was largely the Giants. You know what the Cardinals did a couple days ago with kind of their media availability before the draft? The New York Giants did the same thing. And Gettleman was asked point blank about Rosen. Asked directly if he had spoken to the Cardinals about Rosen, the Giants GM said, quote, "I'm not going there." And when asked how Rosen's sudden availability might change his plans, he deflected and made it sound like it won't be a big deal. Quote, "We're going to sit there and see what's cooking at 6 and go from there." He did also express a bit of support for kind of what he called the Kansas City model, right? The Mahomes sitting behind Alex Smith for a year, letting him learn, letting him watch, letting him develop.
Sure, I love that model.
Oh, I know you do. That's your favorite.
Big fan of that model. It's my favorite model.
There's also a lot of talk in New York about Rosen's personality, whether it's built for New York, whether he's tough enough to handle it or not. Eli was very cool. Nothing fazed him. Will Rosen be the same way? And then he wrote this, Vacchiano did. Quote, "It doesn't appear that Rosen's personality is disqualifying, though, especially if the price is right. The Giants, according to a source, have no interest in trading either of their first-round picks for Rosen, that's 6 and 17, nor do they believe their third-round pick, 95 overall, will be enough to get it done. The Giants do have a high second-round pick, but they don't seem inclined to trade it. Gettleman wouldn't rule out trading picks in future years, which might be the best option if they decide to make a move."
Here's an angle we've never discussed, and I love it. Let's think about this. This is quite fascinating. You want to get a first-round pick for Rosen, but say there's nobody out there that wants to give you a first. They only want to give you mid-seconds to late seconds. But there's a team out there that says, listen, I'll give you a first next year. So you can either take a second this year or a first next year. I'd rather have the first next year.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather have the first next year.
Than a second this year?
Sure.
Yeah,
I'll wait
I
a year.
Too.
I can be patient. I mean, the years go by quick. I don't have to have it this year. I mean, this is a very fascinating angle, one we've never discussed. If they go that route and they're going to trade Josh Rosen and all these teams are reluctant to trade a first-round pick, then if I'm the Cardinals, yeah, okay, give me your first next year. A team might be like, you know what? I'm going to be better this year. First-round pick's not going to be, I'll do that. I'll give you my first next year for Josh mm-hmm. Rosen.
Yeah.
Then I still get to keep my picks this year, build my roster, hopefully have a better team, and then that first-round pick is not the same.
Yeah, I mean, I got to admit, it's funny. When we were talking about those trades, remember that, who was it, Bill Barnwell, who wrote that piece for ESPN.com the other day in which he projected all the trades and what they might look like? You had even said at the time, because the problem with this story is Barnwell projecting all these trades, he doesn't project next year's picks into the equation.
Which you have to.
Now, we were talking in the moment, we were talking specifically about trading the number one pick to Oakland for number four.
Yes.
And you said you kind of have to project future first rounders in that because that's going to be a part of that equation. It didn't occur to us in the moment to think, well, what if you threw in a future first for Josh Rosen? So a team doesn't want to do it now, kind of a buy now, pay later kind of scenario. I don't know how Cardinal fans feel about this. I would have zero issue with it. Zero issue.
Wouldn't bother me at all. Totally agree with you because, you know, if you take Murray and that's your first round pick, you still got a pick coming. You've got 10 picks in the draft.
Yes.
You're not losing any of those 10 picks if you take Murray.
Three
you got
of
10
the
picks.
First 65, yes.
Three of the first 65. You need picks for next year. So if you get, and again, I've said this, with 10 picks, not all those guys are going to make the team. I'll tell you right now, if they draft 10 players, they're not all making the team.
Sure.
It's not going to happen. So if you could push a pick to next year and it's a high pick, I mean, that's fantastic. Look at the Raiders right now. They've got four. They've got, 24, 27?
Four, 24, 27,
okay.
35.
And everybody talks about their ability to move up and do with it. So if you've got your first-round pick next year, and then you've got another team's first-round pick next year, you've got leverage to move up. You've got leverage to do things. So we have never discussed this possibility. The last I reported was that there's at least six teams interested in Rosen is what I've been told. At least six teams have interest in Rosen. The level of interest, I don't know, because the level of interest could be a third round or a second round or a first rounder. But if there are no first round picks out there and you're the Cardinals, well, then go to these teams and say, I'll take your first next year. Because you might get a team that says, you know what? I'll do that.
Buy now, pay later.
I'll do that.
I'll buy now, pay later.
Buy now, pay later.
Sure. Because the layaway plan. The Josh Rosen layaway plan.
Much rather have a team's first round pick next year than a team's second-round pick this year.
The Patriots' 32nd pick or the Giants' first-rounder next year?
The Giants' first-rounder next year.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it should be a top 15 pick.
Should be better than what the Patriots' pick is this year.
And
should
I have be. 33. I have 33.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get a player right there that I like anyway. Yeah. What would you do?
With that choice that I just gave
Patriots
you?
Patriots' 32nd pick or the Giants' first-rounder next year?
Hmm. I would do the Giants pick next year, but it is so tempting to get something for him now, isn't it? Because you want to see immediate dividends if you're the Cardinals. What did I turn Josh Rosen into? What did I flip him into?
Well, that's a good poll question. What do you think people would vote?
Well, I don't know. Something tells me it is going to be the poll question. Maybe because Sarah and I talked about it about an hour ago.
All right.
Well, it wasn't specifically the Patriots versus the Giants. It was just, would you be satisfied if that was the compensation? Would you be okay if it was a first-round pick next year and not this year?
Yeah, but then you teased me. You brought up the Patriots pick or the Giants' first-round pick next year.
Well, and I don't even know if the Patriots pick is a play. Now, here's Dan Orlovsky. He was on Get Up this morning on ESPN. He said, based off of what he saw in that Sports Illustrated Josh Rosen video, that somebody should go get Josh Rosen right now.
Whether he's in Arizona this year or not, this will be his sixth coach in 5 years. Imagine a six different boss, six different ways to do something, six different versions of how you're talked to and expected to execute a plan. Imagine doing that six times in 5 years. It's basically impossible. I mean, last year, he had the bottom five defense, a bottom five offensive line, and a bottom five run game. What would you expect? And he has, coming off last year, he has every right or opportunity to be like, last year wasn't fair to me. This is not fair. I'm a better player than that. But no, he's going, it is what it is. I'm going to control what I can control. That's my job. And he even said winning was intoxicating. He said winning was intoxicating. He wants to go be somebody's guy.
Orlovsky went on to say, quote, I would run and give up a first-round draft pick for that kid in a trade. If I am a team that needed a quarterback, I would run to the Cardinals and give up my first pick. What he is going through is really a test. It's a test, and hearing him talk, he aced that test, close quote.
Wow. Wow.
That was Orlovsky on national TV, which the Cardinals probably sent him a nice bouquet of flowers. Thank you, Dan, for talking nice things about Josh Rosen.
Listen,
we appreciate that.
He expressed his frustration with the process, which shows that he's human and he cares, right? When he said it's annoying, he showed that he just wants to help a team win and how invigorating those three wins were, and he just wants to help a team. I mean, I thought, yeah, I'll agree. He aced that test. Absolutely.
There is a certain Arizona State University wide receiver that's about to do a private workout for the Arizona Cardinals tomorrow. Just how many minds can he change with that workout? We'll talk about that coming up on this Friday edition of the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter poll presented by Sanderson Ford.
Sarah Cazell is back in the Auction Community Studios.
Yes,
we'll tell
is.
You where we are here in just a moment. Let's get our Twitter poll question thrown out there for the day, though we kind of teased it in the last segment. Hi, Sarah.
Hello. Hello, guys.
Happy Good Friday to you.
And to you.
Thank you.
All right. So if the Cardinals were to trade away Josh Rosen, would you be okay with a first-round pick in next year's draft instead of getting compensation for this year's draft?
Yes, I would.
Okay,
Bernsey?
I would, and I'm going to guess 64% of our audience agrees.
Did you cheat? Did you look?
Nope, not at all.
61% say yes, we can wait until next year. 39% say...
That's the margin of error. You get that correct.
Ding, ding, ding. Plus or minus 3%, yes.
Correct, yes. 39% say no, we need it right now.
No, we don't. That's why I'm okay with it. We don't need it right now.
No, be patient. Be patient.
This is even the most Now, look, I understand trying to predict a win-loss record off of schedule is probably a waste of time. We do it anyway. But, I mean, who really thinks the Cardinals are going to be a playoff competitive team next year? You don't need it this year. You don't.
Totally agree.
You don't. You know?
I just want the better pick. If it's this year or next year, I just want the better pick.
Sure.
What is the better pick, the first-round pick next year over the second-round pick this year?
You can find that poll question on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page, at Burns and Gambo.
Plus, I like the intrigue. What if Eli got hurt?
Mm-hmm.
And then Rosen came in, and he wasn't very good, and he only won three games. That could be a top five,
that
six
could be
pick.
That could be a top
what
10
if Barkley
pick?
Got hurt, right? Sure. Their running back got hurt. There's always that intrigue that if they have a major injury, that team might stink and your pick might end up being really good.
Let's tell everybody where we're at today. We're at the Albertsons Desert Ridge Mall here on the north side of Phoenix. We're going to be here until 6 o'clock. Want to thank many of our great listeners who have already come out to say hi. Buddy Love in particular came by and bought a bunch of bottles. Woodford Reserve, the bourbon, the official bourbon of the Kentucky Derby. And Woodford Reserve is out here doing a bottle engraving right now. Buy a bottle, get it engraved for free. It makes a great gift with Father's Day coming up. Buddy did it for his bowling team.
Got his bowling team.
Graduation
seven guys
is coming up.
Seven
right.
bottles.
Yeah, or do it just because it looks cool and you want to have a bottle engraved to give out. Whatever you want, we're here until 6. Come on by, buy a bottle. It's always a very popular remote. We get to meet lots of listeners on days like today.
Gift set is only $29, right?
Gift set is $29.99.
Yeah, get the gift set.
Yep.
Great gift.
So, N'Keal Harry's got a busy weekend. Former ASU wide receiver N'Keal Harry, according to DevilsDigest.com, will be on the NFL Network on the Path to the Draft show today in about 25 minutes.
Ooh.
He will then be on NFL Total Access at 4 o'clock on NFL Network. And then apparently he's getting on a plane. I think NFL Network's in Los Angeles. And he's heading back here to Arizona, where tomorrow he will have a private workout with the Arizona Cardinals. Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network is reporting. Cliff Kingsbury, Steve Keim. I think I'd also previously read that Michael Bidwell will be there. That may or may not be true. I don't know, but I thought I previously read it. Private workout for the Cardinals brass tomorrow. It's a big weekend for N'Keal Harry.
Yeah, and I think that's when they'll be able to determine where they like him. There's no question he's one of the top four wide receivers, either third or fourth on their board. He's not going to be number one. He's not going to be number two. But he'll fall somewhere around three or four on their board as far as wide receivers are concerned, which puts him in line to possibly be taken with the 33rd pick. Possibly be taken there. You know, the question is, you know, there is concerns about him, you know, with press coverage, his ability to get up the ball with press coverage, but there's a lot to like about him, too. May not be ready to dominate in year one, but he is a player that has a unique skill set. Mm-hmm. He is, he was a dominant player in college. He gives you great size, and he's got the ability to just be that big wide receiver, that outside guy that could really, you know, torch people. I mean, he's 6'2", 228. He ran a 4.53, 40-yard dash, the scouting combine. There is a lot to like about him. I mean, he's 21 years old. And again, I do think that the Cardinals like him. The question for me just becomes, where is he going to fall on that board? It will be somewhere, you know, to me, it will be somewhere in that 25 to 35 range.
Yeah.
It'll be somewhere in the 25 to 35 range where they'll have N'Keal Harry rated.
Steve Keim was asked about the ASU wide receiver at their media availability earlier in the week. Here's what he said.
N'Keal Harry's a big man that can do a lot of different things for you. One thing that excites me about him is his ability to run after the catch. I mean, for a big, long athlete, he's got unique skills after the catch, as well as tracking and adjusting to the football down the field.
Not a burner. I mean, 4.5 40 is not bad, but not
a burner,
not
but
a classic burner in the classic sense of a wide receiver.
Sure, but you know what I mean. There's been burners here before. J.J. Nelson, like, you know, you've had burners that, you know, who's that tight end that was the fastest tight end? He was sucked. He was terrible. What was that guy's name? Rob Hausler.
Yes, Rob Hausler.
Oh,
thank you.
Yeah, that guy could run like a deer, but he couldn't catch a ball. So what did it matter?
He caught like a deer.
He might as well have been a deer.
Oh,
my God. He was just so bad. Sorry, Rob, if you live here, but, man, you were awful. You know, N'Keal Harry competes. He competes. He competes for every ball. I mean, that's the one thing. If you watched him play at ASU and went to the game, he competes. When that ball's up in the air, man, he is fighting tooth and nail to come down with it. You know, listen, cornerbacks are great in this league, okay? They're fast, and they're big, and they're strong, and there's not going to be a lot of separation. So what teams are looking for are guys that are going to go up and compete for that ball and compete hard. Because there is not, this isn't the old days where wide receivers got a lot of separation. There's not much separation nowadays.
No, there isn't, and that's why N'Keal, his ability to go up and catch the ball at its high point, to make those catches in traffic like that, I think he's got a lot of value. Here's what I don't want the Cardinals to do, and here's what I trust the Cardinals won't do. I they're just not wired this way. I don't think they'll do this. If they've got a wide receiver on their board that they like better at number 33, take the wide receiver you like better, and if his name is not N'Keal Harry, don't do it. I know they will.
But there's only going to be like two or three receivers that they have hired. Like, he is not going to be the fifth best wide receiver on their board. He's not. He'll be third or fourth on their board. There will definitely be at least two they like better, maybe three.
But you know how this is going to go. There are going to be some fans, and not that the Cardinals should listen to those fans, there are going to be fans who, hey, if it's close, give the nod to the local guy. You know, if you've got a grade of, I'm just going to make up some numbers here. If you've got a grade of 83 for A.J. Brown and 81 for N'Keal Harry, okay, I'm just, like I said, just making up numbers here. If they're that close in your grading scale, give a tip of the cap to the local guy. The fans will be on board with that. You're taking a local wide receiver, a local product guy who went to high school here. That might be tempting because there's PR value in drafting a local guy, right? I mean, it's a great story.
Take the better receiver.
If you've got a guy who's graded even a point higher, trust your board, trust yourself, trust your scouts, and go with the guy that you've got graded higher. Your fans will forgive you as long as you get it right. If N'Keal Harry turns out to be a stud somewhere and you had the chance to get him, and the wide receiver you got is just a guy, well, your fan base is going to torture you about that for years. See Terrell Suggs when the Cardinals passed on him all those years ago.
Here's what I would look for in the draft next week. How many wide receivers go in the first round? Is it two? Because then Harry will either be the first or second wide receiver that they have on their board going into the second round.
I'm
going
to guess two.
If it's three, then he'll be the top wide receiver on their board going into the second round. So if three wide receivers go in the first round, he will be the number one wide receiver on their board in the second round. If two go, he'll either be first or second. So if they, you know, and wide receivers are a need. Let's not forget it is a need. Now, you're not going to reach for a guy, but it is a need. So what now, if one wide receiver goes in the first round, I would say they're not going to get N'Keal Harry, because then they will have a wide receiver rated above him that they could take.
I could be misreading the putt. I have to assume Metcalf
and
Marquise Brown go in the first round.
I would think those two go.
I would think those two go first.
Yeah.
I was listening to Dave Pasch. He was on with Bickley and Murata the other day, and they raised the possibility of Marquise Brown at 33. He goes, guys, I just he's too good. He's way too good for somebody not to take him in the first round of this draft. Now, surprises happen every year. There's always guys that, you know, I remember once upon a time, Dan Williams, remember him? I'm like, oh, there's no way the Cardinals are going to get him. He's not going to be there. Yep, there he was, and they took him. So you never know. Things always surprise. Things, you know, you can never predict how these things are going to go. My expectation would be two wide receivers are going to go in the first round. And if that's the case, then maybe it becomes N'Keal Harry.
And I think tomorrow will be a big day for him with the Cardinals. I mean, how much can he blow them away, you know, and win them over? Because if he is the third best wide receiver on their board, then he's right in line to be taken at number 33.
Well, presumably, too, they've already seen him. I mean, there was that reported visit.
There was, yeah.
To the Cardinals headquarters
the first of
a couple
month.
Weeks ago.
It was the first of the
right,
month.
When they had some of the local guys in. But because this visit is on ASU's campus, I'm assuming that it is, it's not on site, they're allowed to have it. The visits to the Cardinals headquarters, those are done.
Those are over.
Those Wednesday was the last day to do those, so this workout would have to take place somewhere else when it happens. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the NBA playoffs roll on tonight, including the Warriors refinding their mojo last night. That's next on the Burns and Gambo show.
Hi, my name is
what?
My name is
who?
My name is
his name's Sadie.
Hi, my name is
huh?
My name is
what?
My name is
yeah, no, I don't
my
get
name
it.
Is,
excuse me.
Mitch said I'm going to play a music bite here, and maybe you get it, maybe you don't. I don't get
my
it.
For one second.
But
my name is
I was always a little slow with things like that.
Me too.
I'm sure he'll explain it to me during the commercial break. Or maybe a listener will explain to me via Twitter.
Used to work with, remember Chuck Powell, who we used to work with?
Yes.
Guy was like
very talented guy.
Super talented,
extremely
right?
Extremely talented guy.
Extremely funny. But like he was the type of guy, his jokes, I didn't get them. Like, they were right over my head. I'd be in a room like five people. Marotta's cracking up, laughing. Oh, and I'm like, I don't get it.
That's too bad you didn't get the jokes.
He's
very funny.
Very funny. Really yeah. funny guy. Like, but sometimes there's guys that are too funny because they're wit. And it's like.
Too
like,
witty for you? Too
witty.
Too
so,
witty for you?
Like,
I can relate, you guys. Yeah.
yeah. You know what? You ever have that feeling when, like, there's five people in a room and four people are laughing at a joke and the other one doesn't get it? You're like, mm-hmm. Why don't I not get it?
Yeah.
So your choice is either laugh. We're like, oh, my God, that was great. Oh, that was so funny. Or you're like, I don't get it. You know, so because, you got two choices. Either be the stupid person that doesn't get it or just pretend you get it and laugh anyway.
Sarah, yeah. What would you do? Would you pretend or would you laugh along?
I would not pretend. I would straight up say, what does that
get
mean?
It.
Right. Then you look like an idiot. And everybody's like,
No. It makes them look dumb if you're like, what is that?
Yeah,
like, you have to have some sauce on it, you know?
Yeah. When four other people in the room all get it and you don't, no, you look like the dumb person.
Put a little edge on it. Last night, NBA playoffs.
Ooh,
I asked you right before we signed off yesterday, I said, predicted margin of victory
for the
Warriors.
Oh, I think you said, how many would they be up by after the first quarter?
No, I said, how many do you think the Warriors are going to beat the Clippers by? And I think I'm like, I don't know, six? Seven? I'm like, nope. It's going to be like 25. Yeah. You watch. The Warriors are going to throttle the Clippers.
Beat their asses.
And they throttled the Clippers. They were up by 31 points at almost exactly the same moment in the game last night as they were in game two. There was no let up. There was no cooling off. There was no let down. They kept they were standing on the pedal the whole time, and they clobbered the Clippers last night. Last night, Kevin Durant, who had 39 in the game, said, look, man, I don't need to show nobody nothing.
I've been in for 12 years, and I'm 30. I don't need to show nobody nothing at this point.
No need to show nobody nothing.
You know what? I'm...
Man, Durant was, I mean, this is what he's capable of. I mean, 38 points. Move past Magic Johnson, 14th place on the league's all-time postseason scoring list. Guy's got 3,700-plus points in the postseason, right behind Hakeem Olajuwon. I mean, look, he was dominant. He led the way. And as even Steve Kerr said, you know, he said he's a two-time finals MVP and coming off a poor performance. That's what happened.
Yeah.
You know, that's what happened. He didn't play well, so he responded.
And he was reminding people of the way that he plays.
I think a lot of people who watched the game, who analyzed the game, thought that I should be engaging in a one-on-one physical battle, whatever that is, to other people with Patrick Beverly. And, you know, I don't do that type of stuff. I just play. So that's what I was trying to let people know.
Yeah, there was a lot of talk after the first couple games that maybe Beverly was in Durant's head a little bit and the way he was defending him. And Durant, you know, just like the Warriors are going to do. Now, when it's the Warriors and the Rockets in round two of the playoffs, then we'll see. And I'm already looking forward to that showdown. That will be what wakes these playoffs up, because we talked about it yesterday. The ratings are down a little bit. The ratings are actually down a lot on a lot of the metrics. And I think these playoffs need a little kick in the butt.
Oh, it's going to get it.
And the Rockets-Warriors second round will be the kick in the butt these playoffs need.
And it's a lot. You know, listen, you know, from a Phoenix perspective with James Harden and PJ and D'Antoni, you know, there's a lot of reason to root for the Rockets.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in that series. And, you know, so – and I do think that if the – I mean, man, they should have had it last year. But the Rockets are very, very capable of beating them. They're very capable of it. I mean – Chris Paul has to play great. I mean, he does. He's 33 years old now. This might be his, and he'll be 34 in next month. This might be like his last chance, Chris Paul. Like, this might be his last chance. You got James Harden, who's, you know, best player in basketball right now. He's the best player in the league. And he's proven unstoppable. I mean, and they are playing, since the All-Star break, they are playing out of their minds crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, they are destined to win this damn thing. So I would not be shocked if Houston beats them.
2 days ago, Jared Dudley on Ben Simmons, quote, "Ben Simmons is a great player in transition, and once you get him into half court, he's average," close quote.
And then because of that, you were showing me that they were actually putting a – you know, where is Ben Simmons' jump shot missing?
Like a flyer that you'd see on a lamppost on the street corner, missing. Have you seen his jumper? Ben Simmons, and a photo of Ben Simmons. Date of birth, 7/20/96. Missing, 24/7. Age, 22. His height, his weight, reward, $26 million, right? They had these flyers all over Brooklyn right before the game. Simmons went out and had 31 points last night, but somebody made a really good point on social media. I took a screenshot of it. If you get called, this is the quote now on Twitter, if you get called out by a try-hard vet like Jared Dudley and respond by trying harder and suddenly looking way better, then I'm not really sure you won that argument. And I think he's dead on.
Sure.
Okay, Ben Simmons' team won.
Yep.
Ben Simmons exerted himself and scored 31 points. But if you're so uber talented and yet need a guy like Jared Dudley calling you out
to motivate you,
man, the problem's on you. The joke's on you. The joke's not on Jared Dudley, because you're shortchanging yourself on a nightly basis if you require something like that to play to the highest of your abilities, especially this time of year.
To his credit, he didn't respond. You know, he said, "We're done with that. I'm not getting into that." When he was asked about that, you know, Jared did not have a great game last night. I think he only took two shots. I think he missed them both. I mean, he was a big catalyst for them in the Game 1 victory that the Nets had. Now, they play again tomorrow in Brooklyn. But, you know, this has been there was the Embiid elbow and then Caris LeVert taking issue with them laughing, you know, Ben Simmons and him laughing afterwards. And then Embiid hasn't been healthy in this series. So Simmons had to take it upon himself. And, you know, he did play well. Give him credit. Now, maybe the playoffs is what he needs to kind of, you know, understand who he is and what he's capable of, because he's a tremendous player. You know, he is. He's a tremendous player, and he's only going to get better. But maybe that's what he needed. I understand what you're saying. Like, you shouldn't need it, but maybe being a young player like that and going through the playoffs now, you're getting a feel for what you're capable of doing.
And finally, last night, the Spurs go up 2-1 over the Denver Nuggets.
Who the hell is that kid?
Derek White.
Who is Derek White?
I'll tell you. He was the 27th pick in the 2017 NBA draft. He received zero Division I scholarship offers
what
out
Division
of high
two?
School. So he played 3 years of Division II ball, from what I understand.
Yep.
Impressed enough that he transferred to Colorado for his senior season. After impressing there, the Spurs picked him 27th because they are so good at finding guys like Derek White.
Yeah, Manu Ginobili, Tony Parker, Corey Joseph, they're the kings. Popovich even said when they drafted him, he didn't know who the kid was, and they drafted him 27th. He didn't get any Division I or Division II offers. The only offer he got was an NAIA school named Johnson and Wales. Not Johnson and Johnson, Johnson and Wales. Good luck telling me where Johnson and Wales is. I've never heard of it. But the coach that recruited him to go play at Johnson and Wales then went to, like, Colorado Springs. So then he followed him to Colorado Springs and left Johnson and Wales, which I've never heard of. And then after 3 years at Colorado Springs, went to Colorado. Spurs took him, you know, 29th in 2017, and he killed it. 36 points last night.
Yep.
5 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, a block. He was the best player on the court. This guy played 17 games last year, and he was the best player on a court in a playoff game for Greg Popovich. You wonder, how did the Spurs keep doing this? How do they continue to find gems like this late in the draft?
The answer is simple. Greg Popovich is a genius. I mean, I don't...
Manu, Tony.
We've grown to hate him around here.
Dijon.
But you can't deny... He's a genius. He is. His greatness is undeniable at this. He's just got... He's amazing. He is absolutely amazing how he can squeeze that out of players like that.
I'm surprised that they don't trade more for picks like that. You know, for picks in the 20s. Second round, like, they're so good at it, you would think that, you know what, well, you know, let me trade a player for your first pick in the second round.
Yeah.
Or your 27th or 28th. Like, that's almost like gold to the Spurs.
Just to get
they've
those
hit
extra
on,
assets.
They've hit on a lot. They've hit on a lot of them.
Let me remind everybody where we're at today. The Albertsons at Desert Ridge. This is a Woodford Reserve Bourbon bottle engraving special today on the Burns and Gambo Show. Buy a bottle of Woodford Reserve Bourbon, the official bourbon of the Kentucky Derby. Get it engraved for free. The engraver is on site. He is churning them out right now as we speak. All you have to do is come in here, buy a bottle, take it back to the engraver. They'll engrave it right on the spot for you. Father's Day, a couple months away. Graduations, about a month away or so, if you're looking at college graduations. Always a great gift. It's a perfect opportunity.
Guy came in and bought 7 or 8 bottles for his bowling team.
Yes.
Got a bowling team, got everybody a bottle. How great is that?
It's great.
It's a great gift.
Many are assuming that quarterback is the Cardinals' focus for their top pick, but if the focus is defense... Well, who's it going to be? We'll talk about that next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
I got an answer.
I know.